Welcome to Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. My name's Ariel Nissenblatt. This is a show that we've been doing for a long time at this point, Ned and I. Ned is my co-host who's not here today. We miss you, Ned. And each episode is a different tip, usually a short, to-the-point tip that, as you can guess, may or may not help you. And on every Wednesday, we have a guest tip from a guest tipper of the month. And this month, which is September, we've got two guest tippers, Paul and Erica from a podcast called That Aged Well. Paul and Erica are here with me today because now we're going to talk with them about what they do, who they are, and how tips fit into their lives. So let me go ahead and welcome Paul and Erica. Paul and Erica, let me do that. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me do that.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to listen to.
So glad. So glad. So tell us a bit about you. Let's go with Erica first. Who are you outside of the podcast? And then we will go to Paul. Who is he outside of the podcast? And then we'll talk a bit about the show. And then we'll get into some more stuff.
Sure. My name's Erica. I live in Washington Heights in Manhattan, which most people had no idea what it was until the film In the Heights came out. And then now I can kind of point them to that movie and be like, that's my neighborhood, only there's not as much singing as you would think walking around these streets. I grew up in Miami, Florida, though, and I'm a theater nerd through and through. So
I'm sad Ned's not here. He, too, is a huge theater nerd, and you would have bonded on that.
Ah, so yeah, I've been living in New York for a while now, but I also like to go back down to Miami and see my family. So yeah, the theater nerd thing is real and it runs deep, and all my discretionary income goes to doing that, to seeing that.
Wow, I bet you have a lot of tips for us on finding cheap-ish tickets.
You'd think, but honestly, I'm
do you enter like, the lottery?
I'll go for it. You know, back in the day, what I used to do a lot in is go to the theater early and try to get rush tickets.
Okay.
So it used to be you could go to like the theater at like 9 a.m, right when the box office opened. If it was a really hot show, you had to show up earlier than that and like wait in line. But if it wasn't such a hot show, you could get there at 9 a.m. when the box office opens and they sell you like the first two rows usually, or the back two rows.
Wow.
Of the house. For like $20. That was a while ago. So the price might have gone up. I don't think it's $20 anymore.
Well, that's a great early tip to start us off, Erica. Thank you for being here today. Paul, who are you? What do you do?
I am Paul. I am Erica's co-host on That Aged Well. I am also a theater geek. We met in theater school. We went to NYU together. So that's Yes, that's our connection. All of our time is spent either podcasting or going to theater. Erica was completely accurate when she said that.
Is there a group? Is there like a Facebook group for people who met at NYU and now have podcasts together?
You know, there probably is, but we're not in it. If there is one.
Las Culturistas, you know, that's Matt and Bowen. I feel like there has to be hundreds of these podcasts. I would love to do a festival just of you guys.
And we're all just sitting there being like, how can we somehow replicate Matt and Bowen's success? How can we somehow figure out what did they do that we're not doing?
I like the idea of all of you getting together for a listen once a week and like taking notes on like how you can apply this to your show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So good. So what is your show? What is That Aged Well? How did you come up with the concept for it?
We came up with a concept. Actually, Erica did it. Do you want to tell the story?
So Paul and I were having a conversation. So Paul had I had a very like TV forward childhood. My parents were very much, they were hardworking immigrants, and they were like, here, this will take care of you while we have to work. So they put me in front of the TV. And so I watched everything when I was a kid, and it like all like just dove right into my brain. And Paul watched very few things when he was a kid because his parents were like, go outside and play. Mm. So I was describing the movie Splash to you, and it occurred to us as like I was talking about it that movie is terrible. Like, it's about a woman who's like a mermaid who comes to life and then is functionally a child, basically, but like has an affair with Tom Hanks. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, no, that's really inappropriate. Wow. And then we started to like think about Overboard is the other classic example of a movie that I thought was like deeply beautiful and romantic when I was a kid. And now I'm like, it's about a man who kidnaps a woman and makes her raise his children. And she has amnesia, right? So she doesn't know she's been kidnapped. And I'm like, oh my God. And so that's when we started to come up with the concept of like, let's take a look at like the stuff we watched when we were kids and like what was like pervasive in the culture when we were kids. And like, we could still love it. There's no Overboard and Splash are totally worth watching. They're still beautiful films. But like, how did that kind of shape who we are as adults? Like, how did that kind of like, what messaging did we get from that movie that we probably should not have carried into adulthood?
Love and it's fun too, because Erica's seen almost everything and I've seen almost nothing. I see them first as a 45-year-old man in 2025. And I'm like, wow. Oh my God.
this is
a horror movie.
And then who do you find your listeners are? Who is the show resonating with?
I think the show is resonating with like young Gen Xers and elder millennials, and women and gay men, which makes sense. That's the,
love that.
Yeah.
Exactly who we are.
It's perfect.
It's the people who watch the movies growing up, and they're like, oh my God, I did watch, Overboard, and I also did not really think about what this was about and all that stuff.
Do you find that people watch along with you and then leave comments saying like, oh, you didn't touch on this thing, or I really loved how you covered this ridiculous aspect?
A lot. And then we also get a lot of people who they'll listen later, which is lovely. That's great. But it'll be about a movie that we watched like 3 years ago, and they'll talk about something deeply specific about the episode, wow, either about what we said or from the movie. And I'll text Erica and I'll be like, do you have any idea what this is, what they're talking about? I'm so sorry. We don't know what you're talking about.
I'm gonna have to do a rewatch again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Erica, as somebody who grew up, what did you say, TV forward, which I love, do you have tips for finding great movies nowadays? I feel like at least once a week I'm Googling what to watch on Netflix right now, because listeners might know this. I have a podcast recommendation newsletter that I started because there are so many podcasts out there and it's impossible to decide what's worth your time. I feel like we also have that problem with movies and TV, and I always have trouble finding things.
Yes, me too. Well, I've spent 45 minutes on Netflix looking at the options and then getting tired and walking away.
Yeah, moving on.
yeah, we've all done that. So lately what I've been doing is I go to the things I've already watched and then I click on the you might also like feature. And that is helpful. And oftentimes you're like, but I don't feel like watching another period drama from the 1920s, but occasionally and then you can even like go one step further and like click on something and then click on like, if you like that, you might like this. And that has helped me a little bit lately to like find things that I might otherwise have never watched.
Yeah. And I guess there's an element there of needing to trust the system. I often find that if I just see something, or even when it comes to selecting a new podcast to listen to, if I see something, the title is intriguing to me, the artwork is intriguing to me, I know it probably could be good, but I don't really want to invest the time into playing it. But then often when I do hit play on it, I'm enjoying it and I'm learning something new. And yeah, I think sometimes we just need to say, yep, okay, the algorithm says so, therefore it must be correct.
The algorithm knows you better than you think it does.
That's true, first of all. But also, if it's not for you, just walk away. It's okay. Yes. You don't have to watch it.
Yeah. Unless you're doing a podcast on a movie that you have to watch the whole thing. But if you're not, you can just turn it off.
Yeah. And most of you are not, except for the NYU podcasting cohort.
I recently started something very hot on Netflix and like everyone else loved it. And I was like, it just isn't grabbing me. And I stopped after two episodes.
Can you share what it is?
Walked away. It was Hunting Wives.
Oh, I've heard all about this.
Everyone else loves, and I don't know why. It just did not grab me.
Yeah.
And that's my fault. It's not Hunting Wives' fault.
You're not a hunting wife, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Not all of us can be. Can you give us, okay, you mentioned that you both live in New York City. Ned and I also, my co-host, live in New York City, and we often are accused of giving New York-specific tips a little bit too often. Actually, it's not even true. Like, I accuse us of that. Often I'm like, if you don't have a car because you live in New York, and then Ned is like, people listen to the show that live elsewhere. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's true. Anyway, I'm wondering if you have any tips for enjoying our lovely city and how long have you been here and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, wow.
Real quick, we have a word for this.
We
can't say the word because we curse a lot on our podcast and I don't want to curse here.
You can curse here.
We call it elitist East Coast C word content.
I love
so
that.
We warn people ahead of time, we're going to get into some real ECCC right
that's
now.
That's really
baby.
Good. That's yeah. really good.
Yeah.
So what is your ECCC?
Well, don't be afraid of the subway. The subway is not scary, despite what everyone would like you to believe. It's actually very convenient and it's okay. The thing you have to be nervous about in the subway is if it's a crowded train and then one car is empty. Yes. Avoid the the suspiciously empty subway car. There is a reason. Best case scenario, there's no AC and it's the summer. That's the best case scenario. It all
more
goes
often
down from
it's,
there.
It's a smell situation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
It's really expensive to live here and to stay here and all of that, but you can find great cheap food here. You can find great cheap shows here and stuff like that. You just kind of have to, you have to look around for them. You have to be willing to take a shot, and it might not be great, but it might be great. You kind of have to have that adventurous spirit, I think. Mm.
Yeah. I definitely find that people who are happy in New York are people that have the spontaneity gene. They hear about something, they go to it, even if the night looked like it was going somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that that's, you kind of have to like go with the flow here and like, don't be stuck on your plans. Don't like give yourself time to just walk around, and you never know. You never know what you, like what you're going to run into, what experience you could have. Go out. Also, if you're visiting for the first time or even for like just the second or third time, go outside of the like expected areas. Don't necessarily stay in Midtown, you know, or even downtown. Go to Brooklyn if you haven't been before. It's gorgeous. It's amazing. Come to Harlem if you haven't been before. It's amazing. And so there's other stuff to see here.
Do you have any tips for entertaining yourself when you're on the long commute between where the two of you live?
The That Aged Well podcast has a lot of episodes and they're very extensive.
Perfect.
And we are,
they really are. They're long.
Tap dancing for your entertainment the entire time. Just
wow.
Just two theater kids who are begging for attention and applause.
So give us a tip on getting started with your podcast. If I'm new to the show, where should I start?
Well, I actually just started doing this thing on Spotify. I started making starter packs.
Genius.
I have a starter pack for dudes. I have a starter pack for theater kids. I have a starter pack for 80s kids and that kind of thing. So I've just started doing that.
Okay, that's a podcast marketing tip. So,
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's great.
So there's that. Other than that, I would say, honestly, if you just think of a movie, check to see if we've done it. And you can pretty much start anywhere. I when we first started, now when I listen to very old episodes, I'm like, oh, the show has changed a lot. And I feel like embarrassed about what we were doing at first. But then, as Erica always reminds me, like, it's kind of nice to hear the progression, right? Yeah. We weren't bad in the beginning. We were just maybe less sure of ourselves. We would curse a little bit less. Our jokes would be slightly less filthy, you know? Mm. We grew into our blue humor a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. Erica, do you have any tips for, I guess this is just for creatives in general. You mentioned that you are theater kids. And I'm wondering, do you have any tips for people who are thinking of putting themselves out there, but have had trouble with it? How did you get comfortable in making this show over time?
Oh, for me, it was crucial to have a partner. I couldn't have done it on my own. I still couldn't. Paul does 90% of the work, if I'm being 100% honest. Find yourself a partner that you love and trust, and, well, maybe not love.
Find one you can tolerate.
Find one you can tolerate. No, but find someone that you like jive with and that like has the same work ethic you do.
That's
important.
A huge, huge thing.
And
it's a group project, and you want to make sure that you are both equally invested in that group project.
Yeah. And this goes for like podcasting, obviously, as we all know here, is better with two people, right? Like you can bounce off each other, but this really goes for any art form, even something that you'd think is individual, like visual arts or something. Find yourself someone that you can like bounce ideas off of, that you can get advice from and work with, because it makes the journey that much better.
You know what else makes the journey that much better? As you all know, Tippendales, I love horrific transitions. So that's the one that I'm going to use now to talk about the tips that you're sharing this month with us on Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. So a lot of the tips that you two are going to be sharing this month, and of course, you already have an episode out this past Wednesday, are about food. And I wonder, Paul, when you were putting those together, did you realize that you had so many tips about food?
Yeah, I kind of started from that place, because when you all first like contacted us and said, do you want to come on? I would imagine everyone immediately goes, I don't know anything. Like, I have no tips. What do I know? I'm an idiot. You know, I'm just making my way through life. And then I was actually talking to my mom, and she was like, well, you cook a lot, and a lot of people don't, and you actually like it. And then so I actually wrote like a bunch of them. I have like six that I didn't even get to on the podcast.
Wow. Definitely submit them at dailytipspodcast.com and we'll shout you out in the future.
All right. I'll send them off for you. Absolutely. I'm sure you guys are always looking because you produce a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
So then once I focused on the cooking aspect of it, it was really easy because it was like, okay, like I cut my finger on a mandolin. I was like, oh, right, you have to use a glove when you use a mandolin in the kitchen. You will cut yourself.
It's terrifying.
It's an absolute rule of the universe, you know. So they came really easily once I kind of got the subject I felt comfortable with.
The theme, yeah, that's perfect. We often, sometimes we have people on the show who are subject matter experts, and therefore it's easy for them to be like, okay, I'm going to give you tips on, like, we haven't had this, but a good person might be like, taxes for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you make taxes easy for the everyday person?
Oh, here's a tip. Just don't do your taxes.
That's a perfect tip. Thank
taxes
you so much.
Taxes are optional, guys. Don't worry about it.
Wow. Done. Thank you so much, Erica.
You're welcome.
And then sometimes we have people who are just creators and they dig into their mind's archive and figure out the ways that they make their lives better through tips or hacks or things like that. So it's interesting to have people on the show who are movie people, TV forward people who, you know, are then going in a different direction with their tips. So let's go through your tips. We'll just briefly mention them because we don't want to give them all away. But we'll just say that your first tip, you tell us a little bit about something that I think a lot of people do, which is make pasta. Mm-hmm. And you have a tip for us on making pasta. Don't give it away completely, but just tell us, if we are to do this tip, what is the outcome that people will have, Paul?
They'll say, oh my God, this pasta tastes like something. This pasta has has a presence in the dish. It's not just a delivery system. It's an active component.
Gorgeous. So if you want to find out how to get that, you're going to want to listen to this past Wednesday's episode. The next tip that you have for us actually goes along with our first themed week that Ned and I are trying, which is put off week. So what are the things that you've been putting off and how do you not put them off? Erica, do you agree with this tip? Don't give it away completely because, of course, we want people to come back for the tip. But let's just say, what are your initial feelings on the tip that Paul gave here?
I think it's an excellent tip, and it's something that most people will, maybe not most people, but people like me will absolutely have never thought of.
Same.
And then you're like, right, that's something I should do.
Absolutely. And that'll be coming up this coming Wednesday. And then the next tip that you have for us is about baking a cake, which, again, I'll ask you the same question. If people are to get this one right, what is the outcome, Paul?
The outcome is a light and fluffy cake, something that rises properly and doesn't get dense. Nothing worse than a dense cake that you have to gnaw through. I threw out a cake once. I was like, no.
Oh, my God. Thank you for telling us that.
Start again.
Awesome. And then the last tip that you're going to give us this month is about throwing parties for your friends. And Erica, you've been to some of Paul's parties. Can you tell us the ambiance, the atmosphere that his parties bring to your life?
Oh, that's a great question. So, yeah, he throws really good parties. So, first of all, he always gets the best mix of people. So that is almost as important, if not more important, than the food and the drinks served. Is you just want to get people that mesh well together. And I feel like all of, because sometimes it's your husband's friends and your friends. Mm-hmm. That's not always a thing the collaboration doesn't always work, but sometimes it sings. And I think the two of you have cherry picked the correct people to put in a room together.
That's really beautiful. And it is hard to do. I have a character flaw in which I love to bring together friends from my life from very different circles who don't necessarily get along because some are like podcast people, podcast creators, podcast industry folks. And then some are my friends from like when I was 4 years old who, you know, live in the suburbs and like just have different lives. And I love to bring them together and to see what happens. So, I mean, I hope it's comfortable for them, but I love it.
You know what? That's the beautiful friendships spring from that, though.
That you know? Is right. Mm-hmm. And you never know. I last month on the show, our guest tipper was Orly Siegel, who taught us the phrase friends-in-law, which is when you become friends with somebody's friends and then eventually you just become real friends. And I think that that's really beautiful. So I've been using it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's very interesting when you have your first solo hangout with a friend-in-law too. And you don't, yeah, you kind of don't realize that. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. We've never been without the tie that bound here.
Yes. And now we're friends. And yeah. Now we can, you know, run off into the sunset without the person who brought us together. Just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul and Erica, thank you for being on the show this month. Tippendales, we just gave you a little preview for the tips that are yet to come. So definitely make sure to check in every Wednesday for those guest tips. Paul and Erica, again, are the hosts of the show That Aged Well. Tell us one more time about the show, where people can find it. And when you describe it this time, will you try to use a description that you've never used before?
Oh, okay.
Because I know we get stuck in sort of the way that, yeah. You know, our talking points, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so our show is That Aged Well. We watch movies and sometimes TV, mostly from the 80s and 90s. Sometimes we go outside of those boundaries, but we focus on the stuff we grew up with, or Erica did at least. I didn't really, as we found out in this interview. And we just look at it. We look at it and we see if it aged well. And we're not trying to say it is terrible or horrible or no longer worth anything. Like, it was just what we took in growing up. And was it good? Was it bad? How did it affect us? That's what we're interested in. And a lot of off-color jokes. Truly, so many.
Too many. Yeah. I would say too many.
I would say we should pull back, actually. Yeah.
Well, my mother won't listen to us for that
no
reason.
Way. Well, Tippendales, you can listen to That Aged Well and let them know, you know, ratio of blue jokes, is that the phrase?
Blue jokes.
Blue humor.
Yeah.
Blue jokes to, I don't know, safe for grandma. How you feel they land on that spectrum. And of course, we're back on Monday with another tip that may or may not help you from me and Ned. Until then, if you want to leave us a tip, you can go to dailytipspodcast.com. You can leave us a rating or a review wherever it is that you are listening to and or watching this podcast. We would love to hear from you. And try out some of the things that Erica and Paul shared. Check out their show. And Erica and Paul, thank you again for being on Daily Tips. We can't wait to show off your tips for the Tippendales.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a blast.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.